or not, today is Tainus Esther. So let me share with you a few different Indiani Halacha and Agada. First of all, by the way, do not forget today to bring Machsis HaShekel. Today, Machsis HaShekel is meant to be given on Tainus Esther, even though Tainus Esther this year is, Thursday is 3 days before Purim. When do you give Machsis HaShekel? Before Mincha. How many coins do you give? You give three coins, because it says in the Pasuk, Truma three times. L'chadchila minig is to give for yourself and to give for your wife. So that means you got to give at least double. You got to give at least double, one for yourself, one for you, one, three coins for yourself, three coins for your wife. It adds up to $3. Right? And you're supposed to use the half of what is the currency in the country. So here in America, we use a half a dollar to zecher. So three half dollars. They do not need to be silver half dollars. I don't know. Is there a hidden till? I don't think so. I don't know. Some shows they put out silver half dollars. They save them. They have them. So you give three, because it says the word truma three times in the pasuk. It was originally given for different purposes, but we give three. It is, and some have the custom that when they give the Machsis HaShekel, they say the words, Zecher leMachsis HaShekel. Either say nothing, the more, sometimes more is less. You say, if you say, this is Machsis HaShekel, you're in trouble. Because the money needs to go in Geniza. You have to put the money away, who knows, and bury it somewhere until the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt, and then go dig up the money. So don't say, this is Machsis HaShekel. I'm certain that the Pesachim will tell you, you meant Zecher, so therefore the money can go for stock up, but it's not good to get yourself into that trouble. Therefore, the better thing is to say either zero, is to say nothing. I think Sfardim have a custom, I think maybe trickling down to Ashkenazim, is to say Zecher. I always found it to be very, very dull. You know, it's very, there's so much more hana when you have something to say. You go to a tashlich. You just say the psukim. You have to have a whole machzer. You have to be there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes. And you know, read the psukim, say Tehillim. So they have now today. Today you go and you look around and some of the Megillahs, some of these svarim, they have a little bit of a tefillah, a mizmor of Tehillim, to say a yiratzayin, a make a bakasha. It's no harm. It gives the mitzvah a little more flavor. You read the psukim in the Torah, but you have to say zecher lemachzis hashekel. You typically buy it from the shul. You put it in $1.50, and you coin there three coins. When you coin three coins, you have to make sure you make a kinyan. You got to pick it up at least three tefachim off the bima. Or if you don't want to lift your yaf off the bima, at least lift yourself away from the bima. There should be nothing underneath. So just take it away from you. Therefore, your hand now is from the ground. You coined the three half shkolim. The three half shkolim, they're yours. You've paid for. You give them $1.50, and then you down. Zechel machsa shekel.
You stand. How does it transfer?
You have to stand. Doesn't say anywhere. You have to stand. Doesn't say anywhere.
How does it transfer back? If you coined it, how does it? So it's yours.
It's yours. Now you give it. It's now the shuls.
I'm putting it back.
It's now the shuls.
Oh, you put it by putting it back.
Yeah, you put it back.
So
you
this
give
is
it.
A Kenyan and this.
Right.
And
I class. Give. I put down $1.50. The $1.50 entitles me to acquire it. It's mine. Those three half coins are mine. They're mine. I'm coining them. I could go home now with them. I could walk. They're mine. Now I go and I want to give this zecher lemachsa shekel. I put it in the plate with staka. Zecher lemachsa shekel.
So you say it after you pick it up, not before you.
Don't
pick
say
it.
She said don't
say
nothing.
You don't say anything.
But you can say it. You can say it. No, you can say it. Either say nothing, or you can say. You can definitely say. The Sfardim say zecher lemachsis, but make sure you say the word zecher. Zecher.
After you pick it up.
After they're yours. After you pick it up, before you give. Zecher lemachsis hashekel, and then you put it down.
Say
By the way, let's say, and then you do it for your wife. You do it for your wife. You do nachalol, another $1.50. Another $1.50. And another, then for your children. Okay, the children are, if you, now you, if, until 20 years old, you don't have to, until they're bar mitzvah, you don't have to do, but if, once you start doing for under bar mitzvah, you continue doing until they're bar mitzvah. And even 20 years old, some say until you're 20 years old, you don't have to do it, but the minig is to do it. Girls also, anyone who wants to, can do it, but once you start doing, you shouldn't stop. Oh, now next thing is, let's say you don't have $1.50. I don't have $1.50. All I have is a quarter. Okay, it's Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther. So should I wait? So you shouldn't wait. If you come to Shul Mincha, you may forget. You can acquire. The rules are the way most shuls work, and that's the understanding is they're giving it to you really for free. The shul has the Machsis HaShekel there for you for free. You don't have a penny if you don't have even a penny to your name. Just take it. The shul wants you to have it. The shul is giving you a gift. And you can give them, I think you should give at least a penny, so it should be toifis, the kedusha should be exchanged. It doesn't have to be equal in value. For a quarter, the shul is willing to give me $1.50. Yeah, yeah. So it's mine. I give it. So if you come to shul on today by mincha and you do not have in your pocket change, $1.50 to buy the machzah shekel, you only have a quarter, or you have a nickel, or you have nothing, it's okay. It's okay. Just steal it. Take it. It's not stealing. The shul is giving it to you. And then put it down and say, Zecher lemachzis ha-shekel. And later, I assume make a mental note. The next time you come to shul, if you remember, Beli Neder, you'll give a donation to the shul of $1.50. If you remember.
It's $1.50, not a dollar.
$1.50. It's $1.50. Three coins. $1.50. Okay. You don't need to pay. If you want to give more, by the way, Rabbi Isai, guess what? If you want to give more than $1.50, you want to give $2.
No,
call out kavod. Big shayla. Where should the money go? The shul has the plates. Who gets the money? What? Hashir lo yibed. That's $1.50. That's the coin. The three coins. No, but that's in order to acquire the machzah shekel. When I'm buying the machzah shekel, if I want to give the shul donation, the shul really is giving it to me. The shul expects expects you to pay them $1.50 to acquire it. But if you will give the shul $100 to acquire those three coins, they'll be very happy to accept it. But when you had the asher lo yarbe, I'm only giving to Mekayim the mitzvah the three coins. How I got those three coins, I had to go pay $20,000 to get those three coins. I bought exclusive auction on Sotheby's, some exclusive machzah shekel coins, right? That's not my problem. That's not the Torah's problem. I'm only giving three half coins to Osher Lo Yarbe.
Yeah. Why does a woman have to give?
She said, because they don't need kapara. Because since it's for the korbanos, the zecher for the korbanos bring kapara. Nashim also need rachm, they need kapara. They also need. It's no chiyuv. There's no chiyuv for a man to give for a woman. It's really only for the men, but it's a minute to do men do for the wives as well. Which means you got to do it twice. You got to go give a donation to lechatil of $3. But you don't have to give. If you don't, you take it twice. You don't have to pay for your wife. Just steal it the second time. The shul is giving it to you. That's what a shul is for. A shul is to service the people. The shul is not there to take advantage of you. If they're there to take advantage of you, then you're in the wrong shul. The shul's purpose is to service you. They're there to give you the machzah shekel. Years ago, it was a lot of money. Not everyone, it was a comment. I'm not paying. I'm a member. I pay my membership dues, and that entitles me to many things.
Do you do anything with the money for the machzah shekel?
Oh, so what do you do with the money for the machzah shekel? It's a very big shaila. What do you do with the money? So there are many opinions on this. Some hold that the money should go to poor people. It should not go to the shul. Most shuls take it for themselves, right? They take it. The shul takes the money, and the money goes into the shul's pushka, and the shul, and they pay whatever they pay. They pay the electricity bill. Not everyone is so pleased because the money is lezecha the Beis Hamikdash, and it's for kapara for korbanos. And today, you need kapara, and the best way to get kapara is to give tzedakah to poor people. I think what it says, the ideal thing is the money should go to support poor people, and if not poor people, to support talmidei chachamim. And if not that, then in Echnami to support the Beis HaKnesses. There should be electricity. The floor should be clean. The table should be clean. The shul should have what it needs. You want to go, manage to go to build a mikvah? It doesn't seem that's the ideal thing to do. A mikvah is a wonderful, don't get me wrong. Okay? If there's no mikvah, there's no Klal Yisrael. But it doesn't seem that the mikvah is the right thing. The UJA? Doesn't seem that the money should be going for birthright UJA. These are all wonderful things. Eretz Yisrael. But the money should go to something which is similar to what it went for in the Beis HaMikdash. It went for korbanos. Korbanos is kapara. Kapara, we find kapara by giving money to poor, supporting poor people, Torah, Beis HaKnesses, so to keep to the basics. So the Gabbai has an obligation really to know the halachas and to consult with the Rav to know where to earmark the money that is collected specifically for machzis ha-shekel. Yeah.
Can you be yotze matanus lavyoyne with machzis ha-shekel?
No, l'chornat. L'chornat. No, it's different. No, it's not. The deceased, you do not give machzis ha-shekel for the deceased. Absolutely not. They do not need kapara. They have kapara already.
Who?
The deceased, the dead. You do not give machzis ha-shekel for
Yisko.
You're giving in there as a zuchus for yourself. Yisko, you're giving in there as a zuchus for the mishnah. That's correct. But not machzis ha-shekel. Machzis ha-shekel, no. You're right. Good point. But machzis ha-shekel is not for the deceased. No such thing. It's only for the living. Not like Yitzchak.
He's mixed up because of the taxes, we're in the tax season.
Okay, next thing is, when you give money, what other thing about Machs HaShekel, so again, you give it today before Mincha, it's a Tainus Esther, we discussed how much money you have to give, where the money goes to, there's something else, something women, other people, you're not Meiser. You cannot use Meiser money for Machs HaShekel. Meiser HaShekel comes from funds outside of the world of Meiser. It's an obligation. And doesn't go into your calculation unless you're giving chumras. I want to give for my grandchildren. I'm giving for my even for a wife. It's things that you have no obligation to do. Then you can use ma'aser, but for yourself you cannot use your ma'aser money. Okay, Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is brought down in all this form. The way we observe Tainus Esther today is not the way it was observed originally. It was originally observed after Purim for three fast days, Bahab. The original Tainus Esther is the Bahab, Monday, Thursday, Monday, after Purim is over. Why? Why not Erev Purim? There are two reasons given, two very important reasons. Number one, Akdume Puranusa Loi Makdemina. We don't bring Puranus. Why are we fasting? There are different reasons why we're commemorating the fast, the Tzara. We're commemorating the Tzara. Either there was a Melchama, it was a day of Mulchama, or Lech Knoises Kol Hayudim Mitzumu Olai V'Al Toichlu V'Al Tishtu Shloishes Yom Lail V'Yom. It is a commemoration of a Tzara. And a commemoration of a Tzara does not, we don't make it earlier than we should, since the holiday has not yet come upon us. So it's not necessarily the right thing to bring the Puranus element of the holiday before the holiday itself. There's another very fascinating reason why Purim was not done on Yud Gimel, which is a topic of discussion, which is not for now, but that is, it used to be a day. Yud Gimel was a day when we overcame the Yavanim. It was a day in the part of, it was part of the Hanukkah miracle. Part of the Hanukkah miracle, I forgot the name of the general. There was Gezeres Shmat. The Hanukkah Tkufa was a 50-year Tkufa. There were 50 years when there were Gezeres, terrible Gezeres of Shmat on Klal Yisrael, and which led up to the Melchamos of Yochanan Kohen Gadol and his sons, v'chulu, until the whole thing came to an end on Chaf Hei, Kislev. One of the major days in the Hanukkah miracle was Yud Gimel Adar. Today was a major battle when a major general was killed. A major victory took place in the Tkuf of Hanukkah on Yud Gimel Adar. And it was recorded in Megillas Tainus that this day, Yud Gimel Adar, is a Yom Tov. And it is usur to fast. It is also to deliver eulogies on this day because of the great miracle that occurred on this day. What happened? What happened was Megillas Tainus is bottled. When Megillas Tainus became bottled, that reason no longer applied. So and also fasting 3 days was too hard for the Hamoinan. And the public opinion changed that the fasting on for Tainus Esther is not pur onus. It's not in the category of tzara. It's a day of teshuva, a day of doing teshuva. It's a different category. It's not like the Dalet Somos, which are days of Puranus, of Chorban. It's the teshuva. Teshuva is not called Puranus. So therefore, it was brought back to Yud. It was brought to make convenient. It was brought back the day before Purim on Yud Gimel. What's very interesting is you have to realize what is today? Today is really the day of miracle. We celebrate Purim on Yud Dalet because Yud Dalet is the day when they rested. But the day of miracle was Yud Gimel. We really got the calendar wrong, the holiday wrong. We are commemorating Purim on the day when we rested, when it was all over. The day of Sakana, the day Hipil Pur Hu Hagorol of the lottery was Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel, that was a lottery. That was the day of Sakana, and we had to go out and fight. There was war. People went into their bunkers. They went into the bomb shelters. This was serious business. So Yud Gimel is the day of Milchama. Isn't that amazing? Is that Yud Gimel is the day of the miracle of Purim, and it's also the major day of miracle of Hanukkah. Both Hanukkah and Purim. We commemorate Hanukkah at the end. There were other miracles. The menorah, when they finally got the Beis HaMikdash. But this is a day, in Megillas Tainis was a major day of Yom Tov. So it's amazing that Yud Gimel is really a day that brings together the Nisim of Hanukkah and the Nisim of Purim. Where do you have such a thing in the Jewish calendar where these concepts come together on one day? That's why this day is a day to take advantage of, to appreciate what the day is all about. Okay, so let's conclude with one quick advar gada. Chanukah Purim is all about Amalek. It's really what it's all about. Mechias Amalek. Whenever you want, if you focus on Amalek, you have to go back. Anytime you focus on anything, you have to go back to the very, very beginning. When was the first time Klal Yisrael came in contact with Amalek? In Parashas Vayishlach. And why did Klal Yisrael have the tzara of engaging Amalek? This is a very frightening idea. I saw this idea. I saw this idea in a sefer, very chashuv sefer. He brought it out very, very well. I don't remember the name of the sefer, but his name is like Kohn. He's a kubel, a very tishol, very, very big talmud chacham. And he says dvarim pshutim. There's no real, but it's very, very profound. Vayavah Amalek, vayilachem em Yisrael berefidim. Okay, Amalek came. This is the very, very first time. Why suddenly now? Because right before this, we have the parasha of Klal Yisrael complaining to Hashem. We're thirsty. Vayikra, and what happened? Hashem said, "I'm going to give you water." Bang, hit the rock. Vayikra shem hamokay masa umiriva al riv bnei Yisrael yal nasoy sames Hashem. Due to the fact that they quarreled against Hashem, they tested Hashem. Lemar, here are the key words. What did Klal Yisrael say to Hashem? Hayesh Hashem bikirbenu im oyin. Is there really a God with us? These are probably the most frightening words in the entire Torah from beginning to end. When Klal Yisrael, they left Mitzrayim, they were zoichet to Nisim, Guluyim, Ten Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Makos Bukharos, V'chulu. Here they're only out in the Midbar for a couple of days, and they're complaining, and the Pasuk tells us, let us capture the essence, let's summarize the complaint of Klal Yisrael. Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu. Is there a God? Where is God? Where did he go? He disappeared. He was there in Egypt, and that's it. He's gone. There's no more God anymore. All alone, he abandoned us. He totally abandoned us. He just left us out to dry. Hung us up to dry out here in the desert. Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu imayin. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, how dare you? How dare you say that to me after all I've done for you? And you deserve to be punished. Vayavo Amalek. Vayilachem im Yisrael berfidim. Whenever Klal Yisrael says something like that, Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu im ayin, that's when Amalek comes. Rashi in this pasuk says, this the whole Purim is tied into these two pasukim, this connection. This pasuk, these two pasukim is Purim. And what does it say over here in the pasuk Rashi? Vayav pasuk ches, Samach parsha zu lemikra zel loymar, Tomid ani ben eichem, umizumon luchol tzarcheichem. V'yatem oimim hayesh Hashem bikirbeinim oyin? How dare you? And then chayechem, the Rashi goes on to give a mashal, the dog, v'chulu. What is Purim? Purim is lahashmid, laharog, ula'abed, it's kol ayhudim minar, v'yadzok, and taf, noshem b'yom echad. They were nenen, nisudas achashverosh. The whole essence was Klal Yisrael living in Golis for 70 years, living in Golis in Babel for 70 years, and after the Churban. They came to a point where they said, Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu. That's what it was. That's what happened to Klal Yisrael. They were nene misudas achashverosh. They bowed down to the tzelem. They said, it's over. We'll celebrate our own demise. Hashem is no longer here with us in the Midbar. He was with us in the Eretz Yisrael. We had a base on English. It's now been 70 years. We're in the Midbar. History is repeating itself. Hashem says, you want to say Hayesh Hashem bekirbeinu ayin? Vayovoy Amalek Haman rose to power, Achashverosh rose to power, Goyze Gezeros, and Klal Yisrael had to relearn psukim in Beshalach to understand that Hashem is always bikurbeinu. Only then are we zocher to the nisim of Purim, the nisim gluim. And it's always a lesson, because that's what life is all about. A day doesn't go by when a person doesn't have this nisayon of hayesh Hashem bikurbeinu. We don't know the answers to why things are happening, why things happen. No one has it easy. Everyone has their difficulties. Yep. And the lesson from Purim is not to chas v'shalom challenge Hashem with that statement. Have a easy and meaningful remainder of the fast.
Moshe Feinstein is your turn. Moshe Feinstein.
No, Shabbos.
Today.
Shabbos.
Oh, says you're right.